Hello. We are continuing our journey with Jesus from cradle to cross. My part in this journey this week is to look at Jesus, the man arrested. The reading is taken from Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James and John along with him, and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Let me just pray. Father, we use the term our Lord Jesus used to you, Abba. We know that all things are possible for you, Lord, but we come to you and we feel that we ought to take our shoes off and on our feet. For we're standing on holy ground as we see the Lord Jesus in the agony of Gethsemane. Lord, we have been given your word, and these words are given to us for our benefit. Help us to hear them as you require us, because all scripture is profitable for our well-being. Amen. In verse 32, Jesus and his disciples had arrived at Gethsemane. Now, if you've never been to Jerusalem, you need to know that Gethsemane is just east of the Temple Mount area of Jerusalem, across the Kidron Valley. So you go out of Jerusalem down the Kidron Valley and up the slopes of the Mount of Olives. And just at the beginning of the slope of the Mount of Olives is this garden filled with ancient olive trees. It's a mighty sight. Sue and I have been there, and it truly is an amazing place. But when you enter it, you know it's a holy place, because when you read in the scriptures, you are reminded of just what took place there. And in one sense, it brings the passage alive to the sense of reality of exactly what took place there. And the word Gethsemane means oil press. It was the place where olives were crushed for oil. But now we're going to see the Son of God being crushed here with the weight of the anticipation of Calvary before him. Jesus told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." So the main body of disciples did exactly what he said. But interestingly enough, Jesus took Peter, James and John a little further with him. Why, you might ask? Well, these particular men had witnessed his divine identity when he raised Jairus' daughter. They'd also witnessed his transfiguration, but now they're going to be witnesses to his humanity. He certainly did this in the words he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow." These words are showing his human fear of exactly what was going to happen. Jesus had spoken about this in an earlier chapter of Mark's Gospel. And in Mark 8, 31 to 33, we are reminded that Jesus taught that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, but Peter, you might remember, took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he in turn rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." It's no wonder that here in Mark 14:32 to 42, we see this becoming a reality. Now, it was perfectly human for the Lord to desire this cup of suffering he was going to face to be removed, because we must remind ourselves that he was perfectly human. He was 100% man, even though he's 100% God. And here Jesus is showing his absolute human feelings. And this is important for his three disciples to hear. Firstly, the divine Son of God, who had shared some miraculous signs and situations by raising Jairus' daughter along with the transfiguration, was in every sense of the word declaring that he is God in human form, who takes on our pain and anxiety. Secondly, these disciples were going to give testimony to many people in their future ministries just who Jesus was. But this was just as important, because they too would also face the agony and pains of rejection and of persecution. He was preparing them, but also, as he prepares us as Christians today, for possible similar experiences. So it's no easy option when you become a Christian, because as the spokespeople for today, for Christ, it's no easy task to challenge those people who are not committed to Christ to stop and think about their eternal destiny outside of the family of Christ. So be aware, but don't be afraid, because as wholly committed Christians, despite the difficulties we might face in this world, the benefits of being in the very presence of Jesus for the whole of eternity far outweigh the struggles we might have here. Mark's Gospel records the words of Jesus as he goes on to say in chapter 8, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it." Now Jesus leaves his disciples at a distance because he wants to be alone with his Father in heaven. He fell to the ground and cries, "Abba, Father." This wonderful Aramaic word means Father, or what we might say, Daddy. Jesus knows that God, his Father, could easily have taken him out of the situation he was facing, but he submitted himself to the will of God, because if he hadn't, then he would have walked away from the cross and all that meant for humanity. You see, he was to bear all of our sins on the cross. So without him fulfilling the Father's will, you and I would have no chance of being redeemed and set free from our sins. In the light of this, we need to stop and ask ourselves some serious questions. Firstly, do we realise just what Jesus was doing in Gethsemane for our benefit? Secondly, are we willing to follow the words of Jesus and take up our crosses and follow him? And thirdly, do we realise just what might be asked of us and the consequences of our replies to his words? We can learn from the disciples' reactions and their failings to fulfil the instructions Jesus gave them when he said, "Stay here and pray, yet, on his return, found them asleep, not once, not twice, but three times. Their eyes were heavy, so they slept, and when challenged, they didn't know what to say. Jesus had spoken to them, and he speaks to us today when he says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The miracle is that Jesus still used them in their future ministries. But what lessons they must have learnt in that Garden of Gethsemane. Despite their humanness and all their fears, God helped them through what was going to happen in the future. They saw their Lord go through horrific experiences on towards the cross, but beyond opened up a new understanding of who Jesus was and what he was come to do. But that's a future talk. That's for another time. Meanwhile, we need to hold tight to the lessons we can learn from Jesus as we journey with him into Gethsemane and onto the cross. Amen.